What a dream. Two people curious about food, the chef with serious restaurant chops, the writer and the designer who knows how to handle a camera, and an agenda taking them around the world. 12 countries in 18 months. Well, this is theperennialplate.com. Its creator, Chef Daniel Klein, and videographer Mira Fine are here, and they're just back from a remote part of eastern Turkey. Welcome back from the latest adventure, you two.
Thanks. It's so good to be back.
So what part of Turkey were you in?
Kars, which is a town in the eastern part of Turkey, right on the Armenian border, and it's really well known for its honey. There's about 70,000 people who live in Kars, and they have 65 honey shops.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so if you use that ratio in New York City, it's like one honey shop every two blocks. It's amazing. But outside of Kars, in the countryside, it's dotted with all these little tiny villages, which is kind of like stepping back in time. They look like they're built in these old ruins. They keep cooking traditional methods, herding animals, and many of them have been honeybee keepers for generations.
And there are lots of folks who keep bees, but the real traditional way is unfortunately dying out in the region. So most of the time when you eat honey, the hives are fed with sugar.
They usually eat around half the honey in the hive.
Uh-huh.
But so most people who do commercial beekeeping will feed sugar so that they don't lose any honey from their hive.
Mm-hmm. So these traditional beekeepers in Kars are very strict and very adamant about not giving any sugar to their bees. So they are willing to sacrifice and actually not harvest any honey for a year if it's a bad year, because they want their bees to stay in this natural way. So they generally split the hive in two. They take half the honey and leave half the honey for the bees.
Does this honey taste very different from other honeys that you've had from other places?
It tastes so good.
Is it very intense?
It is. It's intense. It kind of gives you a little bit of a tingle on the back of your throat. I don't know if that's because there's a little more pollen in it or what it is, but it's got this natural depth. And the honey is also special because up in the mountains, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
There's no crops, so there's no apple trees, no almond trees, no pesticides. It's just wildflowers. And so the honey is harvested in this completely natural way.
Is this honey sold as something very special? I mean, do they see a premium for making this sort of sacrifice?
It is. It is sold as something very special, but there's also lots of commercial beekeepers who sell honey at every shop on the street.
Uh-huh.
And that's sold at a lower price, so it's making it more difficult for these people in the small villages to make money.
And one of the issues that they're finding is that the commercial beekeepers are coming in because Kars honey is famous in Turkey. So they're coming in with bees from outside, whereas there's a Caucasian bee. The name of the bee is Caucasian bee, that's native to Kars. And that's because these outside bees are coming in, which are more prolific, which are able to bring in more honey, they're actually killing off this native bee. So it's kind of a dubious situation by which the government is encouraging people, apparently, to, you know, do more honey production.
Right.
But at the price of this native bee.
I mean, are people objecting to this? Because you're talking about Kars honey isn't going to be Kars honey.
Yeah.
People are definitely objecting. We had a sort of a funny situation. We went to interview this one beekeeper. So we started off, you know, filming, and then another beekeeper comes up and, like, kind of, you know, can I talk? And then a third beekeeper comes up. And pretty soon we have the whole town talking about
kids and
this
wives
issue.
And dogs and everything. And they usher us into one of the beekeeper's homes. And we sit down and they serve us honey with the comb still in it on bread that's made in kind of like, is it a tandoor oven?
Yeah, similar to an Indian oven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then kaymak, which is kind of like a Turkish clotted cream, which is the top layer of cream that forms after you boil milk. And they serve it all on this bread, and it's like the most amazing, amazing thing.
Did they have any ideas for solutions to this problem?
Their solution is really to have the government encourage the maintenance of this type of Caucasian bee. So they've been petitioning the government to stop other bees being allowed into Kars because it's killing off their bees.
Yeah.
So they're just saying, stop that, encourage this. This is what is going to really make and continue the culture of Kars beekeeping, is to have the original bees and their delicious honey be made, as opposed to diluting it by making it available to anyone to these commercial operations.
And to not give up. I mean, many of the beekeepers didn't get any honey this past year, but they won't stop. They still keep on trying, and they're not willing to do it the commercial way because it's something that's part of their history and their tradition, and they want it to stay alive.
And there were, in this village we visited, the number of traditional beekeepers had decreased dramatically over the last 10 years. You know, where a family has 10 hives. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. And they sell it at the market. It's very special. You don't get to taste non-adulterated honey very often.
Complicated problem. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Daniel Klein and Mira Fine are creators of theperennialplate.com. Now, for more about their discoveries and a recipe for wheat berries with ricotta and honey, go to the website, splendidtable.org.